I want us to take our Bibles and go into the book of 2 Timothy. Into the book of 2 Timothy. I've got so many little things started in preaching that I don't know where I'll ever get through with them or not. We're on the wilderness. I preached on the wilderness a few weeks ago. Got some more messages on that I want to preach. And I just have to follow the leadership of the Spirit. We're in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. We're talking about fire. Amen. Through the Scriptures. And we just got so many things holding loose. We're in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. And dealing with that chapter, so many things that I just want to get to. But tonight, God's give us something else out of the 3rd chapter of the book of 2 Timothy. Now, the Timothy books tonight, first book of Timothy, second book of Timothy, and the book of Titus are the epistles tonight, that tells you how to operate the church, how you can lead the church, direct the church. That old fellow said we need some rules and regulations for the church, and so we'll sit down and write them out. Foolishness. Amen. It's foolishness. We got a Bible full of regulations tonight. And if we'll go by them, amen, some men make, I'll tell you right now, that's something, isn't it? Amen. For man to make rules and regulations, God's already given them to us. And we ought to just put them into play and put them into practice of what God has said about the Word of God and go on from there. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's stand together and read some of the portions of it tonight. Then we'll pray and bring you a message. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And then he says, "From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly, that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But look at verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You can be seated and let's pray. Father, looking at the Word of God tonight, help us, Lord, to declare the whole counsel. Help us, Lord, not to move around and sidestep or backtrack on anything tonight that should not be. I pray, God, that You'd give our minds and hearts the openness of the Spirit of God. And Lord, tonight may our hearts be led by the Holy Ghost. And may we tonight preach and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and declare the truths of Your precious Word. Help us not to be biased in any manner. Lord, help us not to have any axe to grind. Help us tonight, Lord, not to compromise any portion of the Word of God. But Lord, may we stand straight tall and go in the power of the Spirit to declare Thy truths. We'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. Touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at this Scripture tonight maybe in a different manner than you ever looked at it before. I believe tonight we are in those days now. I believe we are in those days now. Amen. I thought you went to sleep on me. I believe we're there tonight. I want to look at this, and I want to look at this tonight as a prophecy. Somebody said a prophecy, that's right. And I'll show that to you. I didn't see this before, but I want to look at this in a different manner. And I believe that he's talking about the last days. I believe he's talking about the last days of the day of grace. Paul is saying there's some days that's coming. That's what he's talking about here. Look at verse 1. He said, this know also. What Paul is saying in that this know also is, I want to keep you informed. I want you to get this in your mind. Paul is saying, I want you to add this to what you've already been thinking. And I want to say something else right here. And going back to verse number 26 of the last chapter, he said, in that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And he's talking to some that's been taken by the snare of the devil. And he said, I want to add on top of that, this know also. I want to add something to that tonight. Now as we look at this, we'll see these things that are mentioned, and we're going to look at them tonight. And we won't get probably no further than the first two, but we'll look at them today, tonight, in just a startup as maybe an introduction to this chapter. And Paul is saying here, these things have always been. I've never known a time when this stuff in chapter 3 has not been on the earth. But Paul's saying there's going to be something about this time. This is not just going to be an ordinary time. This is a time that these things are not only going to be in the world, but they're going to show up in the church. And beloved, tonight we are seeing these things absolutely show up in the church. Would you agree with me? It's going to affect the religious world. Look at this. He said in this, in the verse 1, this know also, that in the last days, he's talking about the last days of the day of grace that we're in today. We are preaching, I believe we're in that those last days, the end of the age, the end of this time, when God's dealing with it here, as we see it, right before He comes to get His people. Right before He comes to get the saints of God. He's saying this know also that in the last days, perilous times, He's given us something. He's saying something to us that we need to see. There's some things in the Bible the Lord gives us. He said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, we know tonight that we're living in the days of Noah. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. And he tells about what they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah and how God destroyed them. God said it's like the days of Lot and like the days of Noah. Amen. Before His coming. He tells us that. But now, He's saying in this Scripture here, He's saying to us, if you will, tonight, He's saying there's something else. He said this also that in the last times or in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And He adds that to the top of the list. You understand that? That He's coming. And when we see this, we know that we are in the last days. I want to also go back tonight, give you a couple more things to add and show you. It's found in 1 Timothy, please. In 1 Timothy, the first epistle to Timothy, chapter number 4. I want to take my time. I want you to see the Scriptures. It's not what I think about it tonight, no how. It's what God says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1 said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the what kind of times? Latter times. Not in the first days, but in the last days. In that in the latter times, some shall what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Would you believe with me tonight that people have already done that? All right. And we'll go a little bit further tonight. And look at this. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn back over there. Next to our text. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Do you believe we've got there tonight? People want to hear old wives' fables. They want to hear something that soothes their conscience. They want to be patted on the back. They want to be told how good they are. The bad thing about it tonight is there's nothing good in none of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now turn your Bible, please, to the book of 2 Peter. In the book of 2 Peter, please. And I want to show you something else. And you can just go on and on looking for the things in the latter times. 2 Peter, we'll look at the third chapter. The second chapter talks about apostate teachers. Talks about apostate preachers. They're like clouds. Everybody sees them, but they got no water. Amen. But in chapter 3, he says this in down in verse number 3. Chapter 3, 2 Peter, and verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the what days? Last days, what will come? Scoffers walking after their own lust. Here's what they're going to say. And saying, where is the promise that is coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that's what they're going to do. We've got scoffers. Would you agree with me tonight that the scoffers are everywhere? They're making fun of us who believe that the Lord is coming. Now let's go back to our text tonight in 2 Timothy. I want to use this as a prophetic scripture. I want to use this tonight as something yet future. Because he said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. He says, shall come. He did not say tonight, there's a possibility that perilous times would come. He did not say tonight that there is a chance that perilous times would come. He did not say tonight that that they might. He said they shall come. That is a plain fact. Paul said these times will come. At the same time, he said they're not here now as I'm writing this scripture, but they will be here. They're coming in the last times. Amen. You look at that. He said they would. Now that word perilous, what does it mean tonight? It means dangerous, terrible times. It means outrageous times. It means hard times. It means difficult times. Now this is spiritually and religiously tonight. It means dangerous times. Would you say tonight with me and agree with me that we are in perilous times? Amen. I believe you would. All right. Paul is saying these times are going to be so distinguishing. They're going to be so noticeable. They're going to be so recognizable. Just like the seasons are, they're not going to be normal times. They're going to be abnormal times, and it's going to get worse than you've ever seen. That's what Paul's saying. Have we got there yet? We're coming there. Amen. We're in the beginning of it. All right, Paul is saying these are difficult, dangerous times, and they're going to be here, and they're coming. We're going to face them. Amen. Not a possibility. And so what he's saying to Timothy, remember Paul is writing these letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy. He's writing them to the young Timothy to go out and to preach. He's warning Timothy to warn the people that these times are coming. Timothy warned the people. And the preachers after them warned their people. And people after them, or preachers after them, warned their people. And now in 2017, I'm warning my people and you tonight that these times are coming. And by the way, they are here. Amen. Amen. And I believe we ought to preach that. So you see tonight, he's saying this as a thing. Now, we want to look at these things. He's saying to Timothy, he's saying this is not going to be a natural thing. It's not going to be like natural phenomenons like in Matthew, earthquakes in diverse places. It's not going to be wars and rumors of wars in this particular place. He said, Timothy, it's going to be something different. It's going to be religious things. Righteous things, so to speak. It's going to get involved not in the world and be the world. It's going to be in the church. Would you believe that tonight? That's where we're seeing it at tonight. It sure is. Now look at verse 2. We'll see something about verse 2. I don't have time to spend on all these. We'll never get out of this chapter. But as we look at it, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now he begins to specify and tell us, who are these? Men. Now when he says that tonight, that don't exclude you ladies. Men in this term here is a term over everybody, all people. For men shall be lovers of their selves. And then he goes to list 24 things in this chapter tonight that men are going to be involved with. You want them? We'll look at them. They're right in the Scriptures. You can just put your little numbers by them if you want to. For men, number one, shall be lovers of their own self. Number two, they're going to be covetous. Number three, they're going to be boasters. Number three, they're going to be four, they're going to be proud. Number five, they're going to be blasphemers. Number six, disobedient to parents. Number seven, unthankful. And number eight, unholy. And then we'll find in verse 3, and number 9 is without natural affection. 10 is truce breakers. 11, false accusers. 12, incontinent. Number 13, or what is it, 13, is fierce. 14 is despisers of those that are good. We're going to look at each one of these individually, but not tonight. Ain't you glad? Traitors. That's number 15, heady. Number 16, high-minded. Number 17, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God is number 18. Having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof is number 19. Amen. Verse 19. Number 20, right? How many have I got to? Amen. 19. Having the form of godliness, number 19. But denying the power thereof, that's number 20. Got it? Then he said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And there's a big message in that verse. Then he says, number 21, is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he said, now as Jannes and Jambres, and we're going to talk about them in a minute, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. That's number 22. Number 23, they're going to be men of corrupt minds. And number 24, reprobate concerning the faith. 24 things. By the time we get through preaching them, we ought to have a pretty well working knowledge of how the church is going to be conducted in the last days. Amen. Don't sound like it's going to be right. Amen. No wonder today that you've got some churches taking a stand on certain things and other churches just letting it go and anything happens and anything's all right. I don't believe that tonight. You see, we know that He said that they'll be lovers of their own selves. And we look at these things. This is not just deeds done by the world, as I said a while ago, but it's deeds now done by the professing people. But not only professing people, but they not only profess it in their lives, but they begin to practice it. That's when it's dangerous tonight. When they practice it. Now, the devil has brainwashed most people in America. And most people in the churches have been brainwashed. You know what the devil's brainwashed us with? To believe that anything that sounds righteous, anything that sounds religious, anything tonight that names the name of God, anything that has a Bible connotation to it or something that relates or to the Bible or to righteous things is all right. Amen. That's the reason that the world embraces every religion. There's a lot of good in all religions, and they've had every religion on the back. Amen. I don't even like to pat the Baptist on the back. Amen. Ain't that right? You think about it tonight. Praise God, we look at these things. And so what we're looking at, we see it. We've come to the time and point in our life that we got to where we call evil good and we call good evil. Amen. It's got to the place that you can't hardly tell what's right and what's wrong anymore. We're having now what we call Christianity without a Christ. We're having what we call redemption without a Redeemer. We're having salvation without a Savior. And all we got is churchianity, and we call it Christianity. It's just a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Most people are just playing church. Amen. They're just playing church. Did you get that tonight? Most people are just playing church. It's just a form and a fashion they're going through. They don't come to worship, but they come just to play. Now, he has likened this scripture to two historical people. In verse number 8, Paul has likened this scripture to two historical people. He said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now, if you want to find out about these, they were the magicians that fooled with Moses and fought Moses. Study it from the 5th chapter through the 10th chapter of the book of Exodus. Read those when you get home tonight. Every time Moses performed a miracle with his rod, these magicians were there to perform a phony miracle. We're living in a time tonight, and I believe you'd agree with me, that anything that's religious and righteous, and brother, if we are right with the truth, we're going to find somebody over yonder that is contradicting what we are preaching and what we are telling, and that they've taken the reversions or the revised books and the perversions of the Bible, and now they're proving anything and everything tonight, and they are saying this is not so and that's not so, and we're living in those days. Would you agree? Don't believe you can argue with me so far. The Bible said that Jannes and Jambres done a couple of things. They withstood Moses. Withstood means they stood against him. Everything that Moses stood for, they stood against. They fought him. And it also said that they resisted the truth, which is one of the things he said is going to happen in our day. They resist. They stand against the truth. If the preacher preaches the truth, they don't want to accept that. They will not believe that. They'll turn a deaf ear to it. And so we are come to the same place tonight that they resisted it. They got a different things tonight. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can give us discernment to know what's right and what's wrong. The little boy said to me one time, he said, I don't know whether it's God or the devil speaking to me. Now the only thing tonight that can keep you on the straight and narrow and to let you know where it's right or wrong is the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. So many of these people are trying to get those little gifts, you know, and they want that gift of speaking in tongues. But if you're going to have to pray and want one of them, you ought to get one of the gifts tonight, the discernment of the spirits. Amen. Discern the Spirit to see whether it's of God or not. The Holy Ghost is the only one through the Word of God. That's the only two things you need, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, to let you know what's right, what's real, and you can see reality from it. Now we're going to talk about this just a little bit. We've got a lot of professions today, but not a lot of possessions in knowing the Lord. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to let us know where it's a false gospel being preached or whether it's a true gospel being preached. Amen. We're come to the day that they have perverted the gospel. That's the reason they get up and say, if you'll repeat after me, you can be saved. That's the reason they say, you sign this card and you'll be all right. That's the reason they say, you join the church and you'll go to heaven. You go to the river or the baptistry and be baptized and you'll be a child of God. And so they have perverted the gospel. Amen. Brother Jesus said, we must believe. We must repent and believe. Except you repent and believe. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's the Word of God. Now, I want to deal with two of these subjects tonight. I have no axe to grind. I have nothing to say. And if you get your feelings hurt, I'm sorry. Amen. But I'm not going to change what I say. I'm going to try to be very careful. Amen. And I want to take it like it is. I don't believe today we're being told the truth all over the country. And God's people need to know the truth. And if we don't know the truth, the world's not going to know the truth. Amen. Because they won't send what I'm preaching tonight down from the White House. They won't send it from the courthouse. They won't send it from the sheriff's office. Amen. We may send it to the jailhouse, but the jailhouse won't send it to us. And so we talk about it. First of all, put this in your notes. Number one, for men shall be. That means not possible or possibly. It means that they will. They shall, for men shall, not might, shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. So we call them self-lovers. Put that in your notes. Self-lovers. Amen. Sometimes I make a little statement every once in a while and I'll tell people, I'm going to do this because I love my wife's husband. And every time I do, the Holy Ghost says, hey, you're not to be a self-lover. Amen. The Bible says not to think highly of ourselves no more what we are. I'm a nothing. You're a nothing. We're a nobody. All of us are nobodies, but God can take nothings and make somethings out of them. I want to be a something for Christ. Amen. But I realize I'm a nothing. Oh, we could put us up. Somebody said, from 1 to 10, how do you grade yourself? Oh, you said, preacher, I've got to be a 5. Another one of you men said, well, I'm close to a 9. Another said, I'm close to being 2. But when I look in the Word of God, God says I'm a fat 0. A bald-headed fat 0. Amen. A bald-headed fat 0. Amen. I don't care whether you say amen or not. It won't hurt my feelings. Amen. The truth. That's all right. All right? Now, let me give you something about lovers of them own selves. The Bible said in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that right? So when you put yourself and you think that you're something tonight, you're already raising yourself above God. God wants us to commit ourselves to Him. Anything and everything, all of us tonight, we need to be laid at His feet. And we're not to make idols of ourselves. You said, well, I don't believe I'd ever make an idol. Have you ever got to where that you're number one? Everything you do is for self. If you ever get to the place that you put yourself number one in your life. Amen. And don't get me wrong. And then on top of that, don't sit there and think that you haven't never done that. Amen. Sometimes you think you're a pretty good cookie, but cookies crumble. Sometimes you think you're a pretty good person. There's been a few times that the devil crawled on my shoulder and said, hey, you're a right fire feller. You hadn't done this. You hadn't been over yonder doing that like some of them have. And you start comparing yourself. And you said, hey, Lord, surely I must be all right. And God always reminds us that we are nothing. And when we do, that we are calling ourselves and get ourselves at the place of self-worship. And it's dangerous to get to that. You ever heard some people have self-worship? Look what I've done. I want to tell you what I've done. Let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Dangerous, dangerous. I've been there a few times and you have too. There's nothing that I have to boast in. There's nothing I can brag about tonight. God said we're not to be lovers of our own selves. Amen and amen. Now, many today bow to certain men. Many bow to certain churches. Many bow to certain denominations. Amen. And it's all right to have respect for the men of God. It's all right to have respect for your church. It's good to have respect for whatever you're in tonight. But I'll tell you, you never bow to it to think it's greater than God. Amen. That's right. Well, sometimes preachers, they brag about themselves. Deacons brag about themselves. Sometimes churches brag about themselves. Sometimes denominations brag about themselves. And then we become self-lovers or lovers of self. Self-lovers. And when we get to that, we ought to turn in our Bible. And I'll get you to turn to the 11th chapter of Genesis. Amen. I know I'm not going to have time to finish this. I need about an hour and a half. And I'll just take what I can and we'll go. Amen. In my last days, I'll tell you, I got to where I could handle this 20 years ago. I could went 2 hours, an hour and a half. And now I can't. I guess you're glad that I can't. But in Genesis chapter 11, we'll find that this is where the Tower of Babel come in. Verse 3 said, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, let us, see that, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach heaven, or reach unto heaven. And then notice this, and let us make us a name. We have come to that day, ladies and gentlemen, where people are trying to make themselves a name. I see it in the Baptist church as much as I see it anywhere else across America. I see it in the religious circles as much or more sometimes than I do even in the political world. It's in all places. It's in the low places. It's in the high places. where men and women are trying to make themselves a name. In our services, sometimes we want to praise men. We want to praise self. That's why I say when people say something, do something, and so forth, and we start clapping our hands, "Brother, I'm against all that. I like a good, hearty, holy amen." Now, I've been criticized for that down through the years, but it's because I'm not giving man recognition. I wouldn't want you to clap your hands tonight for me preaching a sermon. I wouldn't want you to clap your hands tonight for me singing a song. Amen. And so I try to do the same thing on the other side. If you want to clap, stand up and clap your hands for Jesus. Praise God. Nobody wants to do that. But we don't get the glory. I'm going to say some things tonight that's not going to sound good. You're not going to like it. But I'm telling you the truth. We're living in a time when men love titles. They love it. They love the praise of men. When I was a boy, when somebody said, called somebody a doctor, I looked around to see where his satchel was. He was one of them, had stethoscope around his ears. Amen. Plugged him up in his ears, and he had gauze and them sticks that you stick down throats. That's a doctor. But now we've come to the place where most preachers want that title doctor. I've been told many times that they want to be called doctor. It don't just go to men, it goes to women. We're in a day when people are lovers of their own selves, and they want to be called doctor so-and-so. Amen. You can have PhDs. You know what a PhD is, don't you? Stands for post hole digger. Amen. You say, what about a DD? I've got a DD. That's a devil disturber. Amen. We like them titles. We got those titles. We love them. And it's come. Listen, when I was in the ministry 40 years ago, and I've been in it now almost 50, well, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you looked down your nose at preachers that went up and down the country and called themselves doctors. How many remembers them days? Yeah. But now, boy, you got to do it. If you don't do it, you get in trouble. Hey, man, don't sire up on me. I'll just preach harder. I'll dig a little deeper. Hey, man, if I ever hit a stump, we'll just work on the stump a while. Now, go on, listen to me. We're at the place that we want those titles. Now, it's got the place, if you don't have any education, you're not much of a preacher. Where have you been to school? Back yonder years ago, they'd go to these meetings and fellowship meetings. That's why I don't even fool with them anymore. I quit going to fellowship meetings years ago. You say, why? Because all it is just preacher sermons trying to, you know, get ahead of the other. They're just preachers standing there trying to out-preach another. Amen. And every once in a while, every preacher has a good one. Amen. Every preacher will get a good one every once in a while. Amen. He will. Especially if the Holy Ghost gets a hold of him. Throw your watch away. I won't try to quit looking at mine. Listen. We used to go to those meetings, those fellowship meetings, and one of the preachers would come up. I'd never met. "Where are you, pastor?" And I'd tell him where I'm pastor. "Well, how many people you got going to your church?" And you tell them. And what they were doing is trying to see if they had more people than you had. And if you did, if they had more, they'd say, "Well, I'm running a few more than that." Amen. They'll say, "Where did you go to school? What kind of education background do you have?" That seemed to be what they were interested in. Trying to out-preach another preacher, find out how big his church is and where he's been to school. Little old fella come up, he's going to college down there in Atlanta. And he come running up to me. I was just taking that church over. Matter of fact, I was preaching a trial sermon to see if I went there. Amen. They was talking about me. I went down and preached one. He come running. "Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to school?" "Come out of the mountains of North Georgia." I said, "I've been to Bush College." He said, "Bush College? Where's that at?" I said, "Down on my knees under a bush." Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been to college somewhere and you've got a high degree, you're counted. I read this about H.A. Ironside. Harry Ironside. Anybody ever heard of Harry Ironside? I was reading after Harry Ironside. I read a lot of his literature. Matter of fact, I heard him preach the other day. Amen. Well, you said, where's he at? He's dead. He's in heaven. I know where he's at. But he's not here anymore. And old Harry Ironside said, charge that to my account. He preached that sermon. If you'd have sat there and listened to that, most of the Baptists today had listened to that, they'd said, oh, that's cool and dead and dry and dull. I wouldn't want him for my pastor. Why? Because he's not an entertainer. He's a preacher. Amen. He wouldn't tell you no jokes and no stories. He told you about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And old Harry Ironside, they got him off. They said, hey, where you been? Ain't been to school. Self-educated. Self-taught. Amen. God taught. But he become one of the greatest preachers of our country and of our day. Boy, we're living there. The Bible said that men would be lovers of their own selves. Amen. We look for awards. We look for diplomas. Amen. Amen. We look to see how many books we wrote. How many sermons we preached. I appreciate everything God's ever done for me. But I want to tell you tonight, God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. Amen. Preachers lift themselves. Singers lift themselves. Amen. We'll lift songs. We'll lift up the musicians. And musicians will lift up themselves. We lift up certain programs and certain churches. Amen. And we'll lift up certain denominations. And I want to tell you, when you lift any of those higher and above Christ and above the Word and above the Holy Ghost, it's sin. Amen. Lovers of pleasure. Amen. The Bible says down there, amen, more than lovers of God. But He says up there in verse 1 that they'll be lovers of their own selves. Amen. Well, I could preach on that a little while longer. But I think I've already... I mean, some of your toenails are curling now. Let's go to verse number 2 again and get another one. The Bible said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's that next word? Say it loud. All right, I want to know that you're right there. Now, covetous, as a general rule, means to desire what somebody else has got. But if you don't want to check me out, go home and look that word covetous up in a good Strong's concordance. Amen. If you'll go back, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm not even I don't even know much about Greek. I got enough Greek about me. I took 2 years of it, but I've got enough Greek about me. Amen. Just to let you know, I ain't got none. And the fellow says, well, the Greek says. All he's doing is impressing somebody. He's trying to tell you he knows a little bit about Greek. The only Greek I know is I study it every once in a while and see what it is when they changed it and got the word and put it into English. But amen, sometimes it'll mean one thing and sometimes another, and it depends on the Greek word that they brought it from. This word, you look it up and go home and check it out. Hey, feel free to check it out. Some of you won't. You'll take my word for it. Shame on you. But I'm telling you, go home and check this word covetous out. In your good concordance, in your strong, so you look at the Greek, it's going to tell you that this word covetous means money lovers. And it'll also gonna go down a little bit further and say silver lovers. Alright, in verse number 2, we'll find first of all that they're self-lovers, and number 2, they are silver lovers. Amen. Does that make good sense? Well, if you get to be self-lovers, you'll like silver too. What that means, it means that they'll, in the last days, they'll be money lovers. Now, I'm not going to ask you tonight because some of you'd hold your hands down instead of up. And you lie. If I ask you tonight, do you love money? Amen. Some of you are going to raise your hand and tell the truth, and the rest of you are going to be afraid that somebody will label you wrong, and you'll keep your hands down, and you know good and well you're lying. Amen. Everybody loves money. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. I won't have time but to preach on this one, and we'll go home. When I get these cleared and maybe come back and preach on that first one again sometime or another, I reserve the right tonight to come back and say more about it.
I reserve that right. Don't you say nothing when I do. I reserve that right. But going here tonight, looking at the word covetous, it means silver lovers. God said it's one of the qualifications for the man of God is that he's not to be greedy of filthy lucre. You know what lucre is? Money. Amen. Filthy money on top of that. Let me say this tonight, in case you didn't know it, church business has become one of the biggest businesses in the world tonight. Church business. I begin to sit down and jot down a few things about the church. I can't remember them all, so I'll give you a few of them. Amen. And when I read a part where Jesus came into the temple, and they were buying and selling, and the Lord went over and turned over the money changers' tables, hey, I wondered what He would do if He come back and walked up and down many of our churches in America. Amen. Don't get too quiet there. Don't get too comfortable. We'll start digging stumps. All right. You know why He did that? Because if you'll stop to think about it, what were they selling? They were selling doves, wasn't they? You know why they were doing that? Because God required that as a sacrifice. That was still in that day. In the Levitical order, in the book of Leviticus, the first, he talks about if you could give a bullock or maybe give a cow or an oxen, God said that you can give that. Now the rich people's the only one that could do that. If they couldn't do it, God said you can bring a goat or a lamb. And they had to purchase these things or raise them themselves or whatever they had. But it costs somebody. When you offer a sacrifice of something you have, that costs you something. So if they offered that, they could do it. God said, that's fine. But now if you can't get a lamb, you can't get a goat, then what you can do is you can go get yourself a pigeon or a turtle dove. And they're prominent. And out in the public you can get those, and they're cheaper than anything else. And on top of that, sometimes you can raise them and you can pick them up and bring them. God said, I've made provision for all my sacrifices that's to be given from the rich to the middle class to the poor. And we've always had that crowd. Jesus said, we've had the poor, we'll always have the poor. Amen. I'm in the book. Now what's happened? They started making merchandise. These Jews were offering these sacrifices and they were taking them up and selling them at the table. And there they were trying to sell, making merchandise at the house of God. And the Lord said, I'm not going to put up with it. This is the house of God. You're making my church a house of merchandise. It shall be a house of prayer. Big business. Church has big business. I read and see all this stuff. I've been told, and I know this to be so, many churches have lots of stocks and bonds. They've invested. Lots of churches invested. Some churches own 3 or 4 or 5 pieces of property. Some of the religious world tonight is some of the, most richest people in the world. Certain denominations own more than others. And it's a big money-making business for them. They got all kinds of CDs. I'm not talking about the kind that's circular. I'm talking about the kind, what do they call them? Certificate of deposit or something? Amen. I believe that's what they call them. Something like that. If I called it wrong, that's all right. Amen. You can straighten me out after a while. They've got all them CDs and savings accounts. I've never believed that God's people ought to put money in the bank and keep it and keep it and keep it and keep it. They ought to spend it, but spend it wisely, put it where it's supposed to go. Some of these churches hire full-time accountants. Have to have full-time accountants to take care of it. Amen. Just like, they're making merchandise, making business. Just a couple of months ago, a fella came here, spent 30, 45 minutes of my time wanting to get a place to come in here and preach so that he could sway you folks to take out some policies he was selling. And he burnt my hide, brother. I'm talking about I want to tell you, my spiritual dignity just about got the best of me. And it just about all I could do to keep from picking him up by the seat of the pants and throwing him out the door. Making merchandise of the church. That was his business. That's how he makes his living. Don't make it out of God's business. Amen. Oh me, they'll have meetings and say, what are we going to do to make more money? And more money. And more money. And more money. We want to fill our coffers. Amen. We can have an evangelist. But the evangelist won't come. But except for, now many of them are, there's good evangelists out there, don't get me wrong. But there's evangelists that won't come to your church unless it's a certain amount. You can't have singers at your church. Of course, we don't have that around here now, no how. I got tired of smelling diesel years ago. Church folks coming around, and you can have a singing. We'd have more tonight if we had one of the honky-tonk outfits, and I'm not talking about country music. I'm talking about the honky-tonkers that make you think that they're rich, righteous and holy. I went to a place one time, and I went to hear the Inspirations, and I love the Inspirations. I liked them down through the years. I don't know how they are now, but that's years ago. Went to where they were, and they had some other groups coming in, and I went over and sat. We was there a little early. Amen. If you go to them places, go early. You learn a lot. Here come this little group, got off of their buses. Them women looked like they had been had to get down in the bathtub to put them breeches on. You could see every crack and crevice. You'd have put a 50-cent piece in their back pocket. You could tell where it's heads or tails. And they got up on the choir and they started singing. And they'll sing, testing, testing, singing, singing, singing. And the old fellas come out there with three or four hires hanging out. He's out up here with a little necklace around. But before the meeting started, they went and got them some fancy dresses. And them men got them some fancy suits. And they swallowed the microphone for 2 hours. That got me through of all that junk. Ain't had one since. But they'll come. We had a homecoming. And I just thought, hey, at homecoming you got to have them singers. And y'all still with me, ain't you? Testing, testing. Amen, I'm not through. I hope you're not. We had a homecoming. Well, our church didn't have much money. And we didn't have enough to, hire people to come. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not hiring people to come in here and preach. I'm not hiring people to come here and sing. You don't even hire me. Amen. I want you to always know you didn't hire me, so you can't fire me. Amen. That's right. Well, we had a homecoming. And if I call the group's name, you know them. Lots of you know them. Wasn't here in the state of Georgia. But you would know them. And service is over. They didn't come very far, 30 minutes away from us in the local church. And I thought, hey, we'll just get this group to come in. And they didn't drive no big bus. They'd come in their automobiles and got up there and sung for us. And I got up and said, I appreciate them coming. We didn't have no money. We didn't even take an offering. You know why? Because we're a local church trying. I always thought local church helped local churches. And you said, well, preacher, you should have done something. Maybe I should. But I found out a lot of things by not doing. So we are walking around there. The service is over. And this dude comes up to me, the head honcho of it. He'd done all the speaking. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, said, everywhere we go, said, they always give us some kind of an offering. Said, they always take up an offering. You haven't done anything for us. And I just looked at him flabbergasted. I've went and preached for people. They didn't pay me anything. I've went and sung for people. They didn't pay me anything. I perform marriages. And Lord God, if anything needs to be paid for, that ought to. And I perform funerals. I never looked for a penny from any of it. I'm in the business for God. And I'm not bragging, tooting my horn. I thought everybody is that way. Wrong. I looked at him flabbergasted and I said, I'm sorry, you're just from right. Well, it don't make no difference. It still took gas to get over here. I took money out of my pocket and gave it to him. Sent him on down his road and I said, I'll never have another outside singing group to come in. If they come in here, I'll sing them. And I won't take an offering either. But I didn't tell them to show up. Amen. You said, you're crazy. Put me what you want to. But I'm looking at it. Oh, they'll come in and say, we are preaching for Jesus. We are singing for Jesus. But you got to give us a certain amount to get here. You know yourself, these preachers wouldn't come to this church if we didn't give them but a certain amount. They wouldn't sing here. Amen. Well, them kind I don't want. Them kind we don't need. Them kind can go down the road to somebody else. They can peddle the word somewhere else. Missionaries come in. I love missionaries. But isn't it a strange thing in this day that missionaries said, well, I've got to have a certain amount of money before I can go to the field. I was a grown man, been preaching for years before I ever found out that a missionary had to raise support to go. They just went. Years ago, they just went. Preacher said, I'll pastor your church, but you'll have to give me a certain amount. A preacher told me one time, he said, I wouldn't go to a certain church. He said, unless they give me some. I told him I was going to church to pastor full time. He said, how much are they going to give you? Well, at that time, I mean, they just hadn't told me. And they were going to give me enough salary, amen, if you will, not enough to pay my bills. You said, you take it gladly. I wasn't trusting the church. I was trusting the Lord Jesus. And he told me, he said, I would not, standing on the front porch of my house, he said, I would not go to that church but for a certain amount of money. And I noticed they never did call him. They called me. And I went to church and stayed there for a while, and my bills were more than what they were giving me. Did you know I did? I paid my bills on time. God took care of me. Look me over. God's been taking care of me. Wouldn't you say God's been taking care of me? It don't look like I'm a runt. Looks like I ain't pushed too many meals to the side. God's been good to me. Well, it seems we're living in the days of Aaron. Can I go on a little while? Praise God. Amen. Some of you ain't going to be back till next Sunday, so I'll give you a load to carry. This will be, what they call that when you... doggy bag. I'll give you a doggy bag for the rest of it. All right. And so, I believe we're like in the days of Aaron. The Israelites looked over at Aaron and said, Aaron, we're going to give you our earrings. But now, it's not just me giving that to put in your pocket. We want something out of it. We want you to make us a god. And old Aaron took that and put it in, and he said, they told Moses, he said, I just throwed this gold in there and it just come out like this. Amen. We got many people tonight that's in some of the churches. They man the phones week after week trying to raise the money. They'll say, what we do is we'll take a credit card, we'll take a debit card, we'll take a check, or we'll take cash, or we'll take a pledge. Amen. We'll promise to pay. And then the churches are sitting down with the budgets and working out a budget and said, well, we got this amount of money coming in, so here's what we're going to do. It's going to take this much for this one, and this much for that, and this much for this. And ladies and gentlemen, we are on a budget, and they've done just about everything but sue you for not putting in. They'll done you. Amen. Some churches even require, and I'm not lying, some churches even require a W-2 form or a last year's tax record before you can even join their church. Am I telling the truth? Raise your hand if you know I am. All right. Right? It's a going that way. They'll say, well, if that ain't enough, we don't have enough money coming in, so what we're going to do is we're going to have yard sales. We're going to have barbecue suppers. We're going to have chicken dinners. We're going to have cake walks. I went by a church not too long ago and they had cake walks so-and-so a time on their sign. They'll have car washes. They'll have car shows. They'll sell raffle tickets. They'll sell donuts on the street. Church has come. I'm telling the truth. This has come. It's here tonight. Take your Bible. Go to Acts chapter 3. I'm trying to draw in my sails. Please bear with me. Acts chapter 3, verse number 6. Little old fella sitting down at the gate called Beautiful. He said, I want alms. In other words, I'm asking for some money. I've been here. They've been carrying me out here. I don't have anything to live off of. In verse number 6, the Bible said, Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the Bible said he reached and lifted him up by the right hand. He began to walk and leap and praise God and went into the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Hear me. Peter said, I don't have no money. I mean, I'm as broke can be. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you what I got. Churches have got their hands out that they're getting everything they can get. They want everything they get. But the church ought to be the one, instead of getting, it ought to be the one that's given. You won't argue what I say. You might not like it. But you can't argue with what I'm telling you. Amen. Peter didn't have a dime to his name. Well, turn to Luke chapter 10. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Amen. I'm over in the Old Testament. Let me get over in Luke. Luke chapter 10. In the 10th chapter of Luke. Very interesting scripture. Read several verses. The Bible said, After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Ooh! How many of you like that? So I'm sending you forth as lambs among wolves. Boy, you're in troubled times when you're doing it. Now, verse number 4, He said, Carry neither purse. What's that mean? No money. Broke. Amen. And He said, go on. He goes in. He said, Nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, Money. That ain't what He said, is it? Said, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Amen. And He goes on to tell that Jesus sent His disciples out and He said, You don't have to take no money with you. So it's not money that we've got to offer the world. And it's not money that we're out to get from the world. Show me the preachers that would like to go for that today. Amen. Amen. Show me a preacher that wants to go on them terms. Look at the books and the literature and the sermons, and it's got to be a sermon business now. Look at Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 10. I'm about done. Ain't you glad? You said, I hope you are. Matthew 10:8. I'll sleep like a baby tonight. You may waller and flop. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8 said, Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Look at this last phrase. We have a lot of books. We have a lot of literature. We have a lot of messages. You know tonight why we do not charge one penny for any of it? Because the Bible said in this last portion of this Scripture, what did He say? Amen. Verse number 8. He said, Freely ye have what? Received. Freely give. Right? That's why we don't shed it. We get letters all the time from prisoners, from people out yonder in the world. I'm not talking about church folks that's got money. I'm not talking about from people who have got a dollar here and a dollar there. But we come in contact with people tonight that could not give you 50 cents for a little booklet that we might have. And if they did have 50 cents, they'd spend it on something else. But that, he said, but they ought to spend it on... You're not going to get a sinner to pay and buy the things of God. They don't want it. They don't want it. They're not going to buy our sermons. They're not going to do that. They don't even want to go to church. So all you're doing is making merchandise of the things of God with the people of God, and the church has got into the commercial business. Amen. Preacher, I don't like that sermon. No, and the devil don't either. Amen. And they'll say to me, Preacher, would you send me some more literature? Preacher, I don't have no money. You tell that on the telephone or they'll write in their letters. I'm living under a limited income. I'm 80 years old and I give out tracts. Brother, you know I'm telling the truth. Brother, you read those letters, don't you? When they come in, I give them to him and he fills them orders. I don't have no money at this time. But if you can spare it, and they'll say, I don't know what it costs to publish this stuff, but if you'll tell me how much it is, I'll send it. We never tell them how much it is. They'll say on the telephone, Preacher, I'd love to have this, and if there's any charge, please tell me what it is, and I'll send you a check. And I said, nothing. They'll say, but it costs something. I say, yes, but we give it to you. Now, you see, I'm giving your money away. I'm giving your money away. Amen. And I say, I got a congregation that puts money in and we take it down to the post office and we mail it and they are putting that in. Well, at least let me pay for the postage. I said, if you want to send us something, help yourself. But if you don't want to, that's fine. And we won't hold back on you. Preacher, send me what you can afford. I hate for them to do that. Lord have mercy. It takes a truck to haul that to the post office. I'm spending your money. Understand? We give that away. Brother, I'll tell you tonight, I'm tired of seeing this kind of stuff. We're living in a religious world. It has become what I call a church commercialism. We got religious peddlers up and down the country. I saw a fellow at the table today. Three years ago, he came down here on a Saturday. Can you spare me just a few more minutes? He came down here to the shop. And he come in here and I showed him what we had and what we was putting out and all the subjects we was dealing with. And on that. And he said, Preacher, have you ever thought about putting that on the Internet? I said, some of it's on the Internet. He said, no. He said, if you'll let me put that on the Internet, I can put a price on that, and every time something's sold, you'll get a price out of it. Now, the reason he wanted to do that is because he was going to get the first off of it. And I thought to myself, now, I didn't fall off a load of pumpkins. If I wanted to sell it, I know how to put it on the Internet. We got our own website. I know how to put it on there, and I'll get every penny off of it. We'll cut out the middleman. I saw him sitting over. You know what? When I said, no, I can't do that, he ain't had much to do with me or for me anymore. But you know what? He might have had the one. He probably went home with indigestion. I went home and seen and didn't have no problems. We're in the business of commercialism in our churches. I'll just shut up tonight. Amen. That's enough to chew on for an hour or two. Verse 1 tells us it's coming. And we know it's here. But verse number 2 said they'll be self-lovers. And number 2, they'll be silver lovers. And how many is that? 2 There's 24. I only have 22 more. And we'll get back to that later. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Oh, may God help us tonight. I'd rather pick up 10 cans on the side of the road. Boy, that's a lot of cans to live off of. I'd rather pick up cans on the side of the road as to make God's work merchandise. I hope God burns down the shop the day we start charging. Hear me. I said, preacher, that's a mighty stiff preaching. That's right. It needs to be. Let's stand tonight. I don't know if there's anything in your life it's hard to give an invitation on this message. This is not one of them you shout off of. But maybe God will give us a balm of Gilead sometime before we go to bed tonight and we can rub ourselves in some heavenly salve. But I'm telling the truth. I'm concerned about our churches in America. I'm concerned about the way we operate and the way we live and the way we make merchandise of the things of God. I love you. That's the reason I tell you. We got parents that won't tell their kids what's right because they don't want to hurt their feelings. And we got preachers that won't tell the crowd what they're supposed to tell them because they don't want to hurt their feelings. But I don't want to stand before God and have your blood dripping off my hands because I didn't warn you. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for coming.